So that was 1990-91, I guess. But, you know, you played, I think, 15 first-team games. Very soon afterwards, you were playing for the Southwest Division.
Yes.
But yes. Before that, of course, you had those two games against England and Ireland.
That's right. Well, I'm sat there trying to think. We, as I said, with dates and times and everything, I'm glad you got the notes there. It's,
I can do better than that, Simon. I have the programme for the Irish game, which I went to myself, and that was a fantastic game.
That was a game there that is, and you would probably have the score there that we won by, but we actually beat Ireland that day.
I think I wrote it in pride. I wrote it in the programme, didn't you? In fact, I've got the scorers and everything. So.
Yeah, hey, there you are. It was a very close court game, and we won 14-13.
Yeah.
And, but, yeah.
I think I'd better say it rather than you. You outplayed them at 14-13.
Yeah.
You genuinely deserved to win that game against what was virtually the full Irish side.
Yeah. And just Staples, I thought it was Staples, I owed a bit of apology to after. if you remember, I was lucky to have stayed on the pitch that day. We had done, and it was Matt Bayliss was refereeing, and Neil Matthews for us, fly half for us, and we were coming up towards where the tump would have been, and Neil Matthews put an up and under, a big kick, booted it, it must have got snow on there. And back in the day there, when I used to chase a kick, instead of watching the ball, I'd look to see who was going to catch it, and I'd just make a beeline straight for them. So I never looked up at the ball, I just watched the player who I thought was going to receive, so I could run as quick as I could, and then usually just before we got to the person, I'd look up to make sure the ball was come in and then challenge for the ball. And on this occasion, I'm running like video, it's a big game, we're playing Ireland, you know, the adrenaline's running, and I'm running as fast as I possibly can, and Staples crouches just as I'm about 5 yards from him, and I'm thinking, he's going to catch the ball, don't look up, and I just piled into him and knocked him down, and we both ended up in a big cloud of dust, and I'm thinking, and then my head pops up, where's the ball, and then all of a sudden there's a little pause, and then bang, the ball lands by the side of us. I hit him about 5-3 seconds. Neil Matthews must have kicked the best perfect kick of an up and under in his life, and it had gone up and come. And all I could hear was Tim Smith stood behind saying, "You prat." But not quite as polite as that, because it was a penalty to them. And Matt Bailey said to me in the bar after, he said, "I could see what was going to happen. I knew what was going to happen. I could do nothing about it." He said, "I couldn't stop it until you'd done it." He said, and it was, you know, in the modern day now, that had definitely been a yellow card.
Yeah.
If not a little bit more.
Could have been a bit more.
And old Mr. Staples went off about 10 minutes after that. But that was a cracking game, you know, thoroughly. And one of the, I'm a policeman by trade, and I had to go back on a night shift after that game. I come off the pitch, I was on a big high. We'd just beaten Ireland. I've got the shirt at home still now. I think I number 12, Mr. Curtis, I swapped my shirt with. Mm-hmm. And I still got that in my loft, in a bag in my loft back at home. And we come off the pitch. I ambled in the bar. There was a free Guinness was on. You know, Ireland, they'd got sponsorship there. And there was Guinness there for everybody. And we're there drinking. And you know, as I just said earlier on, you know, a lot of my friends from work and colleagues from work would come and watch the game. And I walked into the bar there, and my sergeant, Eskins, Roy Rumblow, the van driver, John Kennedy, one of the van drivers, were all sat there tapping me on the back. "Hey, well done, our kid. You know, have a drink." Yeah. And I said, you know, and they seemed quite red in the face, and they were firing the Guinnesses back in. I said, "You're not on tonight with me then, 12 at 10? "Oh, no, boy. We got the night off. We've all but." So I had tried to get the night off and couldn't because too many people were off and what have you. Yeah, so everybody else was off and having come to watch me and drinking the Guinness, and I had to go back and work a night shift, 10 o'clock at night till 6 in the morning. But, But anyway, the game itself, it's... But it was, you know, that was one of the highlights here at King's Home, to have played.
I'm sure it was.
And, you know, against an international quality team, and to have beaten them, sort of thing. It was a cracking game. And as you say, also England, we played England as well out here. And held them very close until about the last 20 minutes, where in fairness, it was that little bit of fitness you know, be playing that extra level again, you then appreciate their level of fitness there as you're starting to wane a bit at the end of the game. Yeah. They then scored a couple of quick tries at the end, which, you know, made the score greater than what it was, you know. And, you know, back in those days, we had a pack there that were, you know, a good solid pack that, you know, held their own in the scrum and in the forward contests. Yeah. And, you know, were a formidable force in themselves. It was, yeah.
And that must have helped.
Yeah.
That must have helped to get you noticed.
Yeah.
It has to have done, doesn't it?
It was one of those things. When we first came to Gloucester Day, the pack was formidable. You know, we had, you know, big lads there, and, you know, over the years, you know, the props that we've had, you know, at the club there as in pairs, you know, it was Richard Pascoe, my uncle Capriti sort of thing initially, yeah, when we first turned up. And then you had Dino Phillips and Pete Jones were there, and then you had Tony Windows and your Deacons come along. Exactly. And then in the meantime you had your Forest lads like Powell, Eddie Powell come up as a big solid boy himself and filled in between gaps. And then eventually you had your Woodmans and Vicaries come along as young lads, and they were young lads coming up as I was leaving, sort of thing.
Yeah. Yeah.
And you've had cornerstones there of a pack and forwards in the day that set the basis for everything, isn't it? And they were, you still see a few of these chaps now with the cherry pickers, and when you're in town, you meet up a couple of the lads, like Pete Jones and people like that, and you were actually genuinely lovely blokes, real nice chaps.
So playing behind that pack
obviously helped
and helped to get you noticed and helped to get you into that
team. In the early days though, it was the old Gloucester Forte sort of thing. It was 10 man rugby. It was very much, you know, as a winger in the early days, we go to the fly half, we put the big kick up and you chase after it, and you had to try and tackle, challenge for the high kicks, catch a high kick. But it was, you know, they don't want to throw the ball to us back, so watch us drop the ball in the centre, or almost, you know, back in Mike Hamlin's day, you know, Mike Hamlin was a cracking fly half there with Marcus Hannaford and the pair in there, but it seldom come out past them. It was it used to be kicks then there, get another line out, we're grinding another win. And you know, in the early days you seem to stand on the wings a bit, and occasionally might come out if it was a real nice hot day and whatever, but a lot of shine, you were freezing yourself to death trying to keep warm any way you could. And it was and as you say, it's they set you up well for noticing for the Southwest. But I think at the time Keith Richardson was coaching here at, you know, Gloucester sort of thing, which also was doing a bit with the Southwest, helped as well, that a lot of the lads, Brainer and Pascal and all those boys, you know, Simsy, all came down to the Southwest over the years, sort of thing, with us. And it helped.
Yeah.
It helped us there get noticed for that. And when we went to the Southwest, you know, the calibre of the backs that we were playing with there initially, you know, you sit there and think, you know, we had Richard Hill was the scrum half, Stuart Barnes was the fly half, Phil de Glanville and Jeremy Guscott were like the two centres. I'd be on the left wing, Nick Beale was on the right wing, and then you had Jonathan Webb initially, and then Jonathan Callard came along, were like the full backs. And you had people like Paul Hull, Abadeo, you know, but then at Bath and Bristol at the time, were all sat on the bench behind you know, vying for your positions as well. And it was, you sit there thinking, God, you know, and then when you sit back and look at it now, you think a lot of those boys, they all went on and got England caps, and what have you, so you played in a cracking team and with good company, sort of thing. It was, and you know, the British Lions and all sorts, you know, Guscott and what have you, and Gamble. So it was, awesome, great guys to have played alongside. It was,
Sure.